And now, it's time for our weekly news round. Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
This is Paul Hill back on air with the news. After a long break, as Lutheran Radio UK has been moving to a bigger studio in Cambridge. Apologies to our listeners for losing some programmes, but LR UK is now up and running and excited about the rededication of the new LR UK studio that should take place on March the 5th. We are all delighted to continue to share God's message over the airwaves with Christians all around the globe. In other news, with the 500th anniversary in 2017 of Luther's posting of the 95 Theses, the ELCE, Lutheran Radio UK and the Christian Resources Exhibition have been working in partnership to provide speakers at this year's Christian Resources Exhibition at the London XL on the 17th to the 20th of May. We are delighted that we have secured the Bishop of Kensington, Graham Tomlin, author of Luther and His World, Dr. Gregory Sells, speaker for the Lutheran Hour, and Dr. Boris Gunjevich, co-author of God in Pain and tutor at Westfield House, Cambridge, and Dr. Robert Kolb, Emeritus Professor of Systematic Theology at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, and author of over 20 books on Luther and early Lutheranism. They will all be giving presentations, and we would encourage everyone to come along and listen to them, as well as stop by our very own Lutheran Radio UK booth. Please make a note in your diary for May the 17th to the 20th. See you there. In December 2015, officials from the Anglican Church of South Sudan, the ACSS, led by Bishop Elijah Arak, visited the headquarters of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, the LCMS, in St. Louis, Missouri, to discover the possibility of becoming a Lutheran Church body. The Anglican Church of South Sudan, formerly the Anglican Church of Sudan, formed in 2004 as a breakaway from the Episcopal Church of Sudan because of moves in that church body and the wider Anglican Communion to approve same-sex marriage and the ordination of homosexual clergy. A significant portion of bishops, clergy and congregation, perhaps nearly 50%, left the Episcopal Church over these and other issues. Today, the ACSS counts approximately 1 million members. Since that time, the ACSS has discovered Martin Luther's small catechism and expressed interest in becoming a Lutheran church body. To that end, members of the ACSS have sought out closer ties with the LCMS, desiring to gain a deeper understanding of Lutheran theology through the study of the Book of Concord. The next step for the LCMS is to visit Juba, South Sudan, and see the church in person, explained the Reverend Dr. Albert Culver, LCMS Director of Church Relations. The goal will be to establish theological education in the Lutheran confessions and Lutheran doctrine. May the Lord grant guidance and blessing to this endeavour. A group of Finnish Lutherans were offered Holy Communion by priests at a mass held in St. Peter's Basilica following a meeting with Pope Francis on January the 15th, according to a report by the Finnish periodical Kotima 24. Lutheran Bishop Samuel Salmi was visiting the Vatican as the head of a delegation that included a youth choir that was to perform there. Salmi says he met privately with Pope Francis. After the personal audience with the Pope, the delegation was present at a celebration of the Catholic Mass. According to Salmi, at the time of communion, the non-Catholics placed their right hands on their left shoulders, a traditional way of indicating that they were ineligible to receive the Eucharist. However, the celebrating priests insisted on giving them communion. Salmi told Kotima 24 that, "I myself accepted it, Holy Communion." He added that this was not a coincidence, and nor was it a coincidence when last year the Pope seemed to accept the notion of a Lutheran woman receiving communion with a Catholic husband. The worldwide Anglican Church has taken a step back from the brink of a breakup, but voted to partially exclude its liberal American branch because of its stance on homosexuality. Archbishops and bishops from around the world meeting behind closed doors in the crypt of Canterbury Cathedral voted explicitly to condemn same-sex marriage as a fundamental departure from traditional Anglican teaching. The primates from almost 40 countries also decided to bar the US branch of Anglicanism, the Episcopal Church, the TEC, which officially recognizes gay marriage, from key bodies for the next 3 years. But fundamentally, it remains part of the global Anglican Communion. in what will be viewed only as a partial victory for Conservatives, there is also no formal sanction against the Canadian Church, which takes a similar stance on homosexuality to Teck, but has not yet officially endorsed same-sex marriage services. The agreement, after 4 days of talks, averted the prospects of a full schism in the global Anglican Communion, which claims 85 million members around the world. It also represented a personal boost for the Archbishop of Canterbury, the Most Reverend Justin Welby, who has made reconciliation a key plank to his tenure in the role. But it will be seen as a warning shot of further trouble for the Church of England amid growing calls for it to bless same-sex unions. Conservative primates also warned of further uncertainty ahead, saying the deal must not be seen as an end, but as a beginning. They also voiced dismay that the Americans have not been urged to express repentance. One cleric described the deal as best as a 3-year stay of execution for the world's third largest denominational group. Another key church source admitted it was a fragile deal. The roots of the rift between liberal and conservative wings can be traced back decades, but the current crisis erupted in 2003 when the US branch of Anglicanism, the Episcopal Church, Teck, ordained its first openly gay bishop, Gene Robinson. Conservative Anglicans believe this goes against the teaching of the Bible, but liberals say Christianity should be inclusive. Several Anglican churches, particularly in Africa and Asia, have since broken ties with the Episcopal Church, as well as the Canadian branch of Anglicanism, over the issue of homosexuality. A new, more conservative breakaway church has also emerged in the US and Canada, known as the Anglican Church of North America, ACNA. Matters came to a head in 2008 when many conservatives boycotted the Lambeth Conference, the once-on-a-decade global gathering of bishops, because Teck was present there. There have been several initiatives intended to heal the rift since then, all of them largely ignored. Easter should fall on the same Sunday every year, the Archbishop of Canterbury has suggested. The Most Reverend Justin Welby said that Anglican leaders would join discussions with other church leaders about the move to fix the date for the first time and put an end to almost 2,000 years of controversy. The plan, which would schedule the Christian festival on the same Sunday each year, is expected to be welcomed by parents and schools, but may anger traditionalists. At present, Easter falls on the first Sunday following the first full moon after the vernal equinox, around March the 21st. This means it can fall on any Sunday between March the 22nd and April the 25th. Archbishop Welby said Anglican leaders have voted to join discussions with the Roman Catholic and Orthodox churches to set an annual date. He said that Easter should most likely be fixed for the second or third Sunday of April. The Archbishop said, "We had warned the government that this was coming up. I would expect it to happen between 5 and 10 years' time. I wouldn't expect it earlier than that, not least because most people have probably printed their calendars for the next 5 years. School holidays and so on are also fixed. It affects almost everything you do in the spring and summer. I would love to see it before I retire." He prompted laughter as he added, "Equally, I think the first attempt to do this was in the 10th century. In fact, agreement on the issue would bring to an end one of the longest-running controversies in the history of Christianity, dating back to the 2nd century. It would also have wide-ranging implications for schools and universities, the tourism industry, retailers and even sporting fixtures." The Archbishop made the surprise announcement at the end of a week-long meeting of bishops and archbishops from around the world in Canterbury, dominated by their discussion over the deep rifts about the homosexuality. He said the primates of the Anglican Communion had agreed to join talks initiated by the head of the Coptic Orthodox Church, Pope Tewodris II, on fixing a date for Easter. Pope Francis signalled earlier this year that he would also be open to the idea. A Danish city has ordered pork to be mandatory on municipal menus, including for schools and daycare centres, with politicians insisting the move is necessary for preserving the country's food traditions and is not an attack on Muslims. Frank Norgard, a member of the council in Randers that narrowly approved the decision earlier this week, says it was made to ensure that pork remains a central part of Denmark's food culture. Denmark is a major pork producer and is also the most popular meat, but it is forbidden to Muslims and Jews. Most of the asylum seekers who have arrived in the country in the past months are Muslim. Norgaard, a member of the anti-immigration populist Danish People's Party that proposed the council motion, said Thursday that it wasn't meant as a harassment of Muslims, but added that he had received several complaints about too many concessions being made to Muslims in the small, predominantly Lutheran country. "The signal we want to send here is that if you're a Muslim and you plan to come to Randers, don't expect you can impose eating habits on others. Pork here is on an equal footing with other food," Norgaard said. He told the Associated Press that halal meat, vegetarian dishes and diets for diabetics would still be available. In 2013, then Prime Minister Helge Thorning-Schmidt lashed out at some nurseries after they started serving halal butchered meat instead of pork because Muslim children had refused to eat it. Monday's vote in Randers, 130 miles northwest of Copenhagen, follows last week's government announcement to further tighten immigration by forcing asylum seekers to hand over valuables to help cover their housing and food costs while their cases are being processed. Last year, some 20,000 people applied for asylum in the nation of 5.6 million. Schools must teach pupils that Britain is a Christian country and are entitled to prioritise the views of established religions over atheism, the Education Secretary has said. Nicky Morgan, the Education Secretary, has published new guidance to non-faith schools which makes clear that they do not need to give equal parity to non-religious views. It comes after humanists won a landmark High Court victory which found that the Education Secretary had unlawfully excluded atheism from the school curriculum. Mrs. Morgan is concerned that humanists are using the course as part of a creeping ratchet effect which will ultimately see primary schools forced to teach children about atheism. The new guidance states that there is no obligation for any school to give equal airtime to the teaching of religious and non-religious views or even cover atheism during GCSE religious studies lessons. However, the guidance suggests that non-religious views can be taught in other lessons, a decision described as significant by the British Humanist Association. It comes after a major inquiry into the place of religion in modern society concluded that Britain is no longer a Christian country and should stop acting as if it is. The two-year commission, chaired by the former senior judge Baroness Butler Slosh, and involving leading religious leaders from all faiths, called for public life in Britain to be systematically de-Christianised. Mrs. Morgan, however, said the government is determined to protect schools' freedom to set their own religious studies curriculum in line with the wishes of parents and the local community. "The guidance I've issued today makes absolutely clear that the recent judicial review will have no impact on what is currently being taught in religious education. I am clear that both faith and non-faith schools are completely entitled to prioritise the teaching of religion and faith over non-religious views if they wish." A source close to Mrs. Morgan said, "Nicky has had enough of campaign groups using the courts to try and force the teaching of atheism and humanism to kids against parents' wishes. That's why she's taking a stand to protect the rights of schools to prioritise the teaching of Christianity and other major religions." In November, three families, backed by the British Humanist Association, won a victory at the High Court after challenging the government's new religious studies GCSE. Changes to the Religious Studies GCSE announced last February give priority to religious views, in particular Christianity, Catholicism, Judaism, Islam, Buddhism and Sikhism. Justice Warby ruled that there had been a breach of the duty to take care that information or knowledge included in the curriculum is conveyed in a pluralistic manner. The Department for Education's new guidance makes clear that schools are not required to teach pupils about atheism in religious studies GCSEs. It addresses the concerns of the judge by suggesting that non-atheist views can be taught as part of other lessons in schools. The guidance states, "There is no obligation for any school or ASC to give equal airtime to the teaching of religious and non-religious views. There is no obligation on any school to cover the teaching of non-religious worldviews or any other particular aspect of the RE curriculum, in Key Stage 4 specifically. Rather, it's for schools to determine how they meet their wider obligations across the key stages." It also says that religious education should reflect the fact that the religious traditions in Great Britain are, in the main, Christian. The Reverend Nigel Genders, Chief Education Officer for the Church of England, said, "There's been confusion about the implications of the High Court judgment with respect to the GCSE religious studies subject content, and we welcome the publication of this guidance note which clarifies the situation and provides assurance that the judgment does not impact on the content of the new RS GCSE. Meanwhile, the coronation service for the next monarch should be overhauled to include other faiths, a report adds. Controversially, it also calls for a rethink of anti-terror policy, including ensuring students can voice radical views on campus without fear of being reported to the security services. And it also recommends new protections for women in Sharia courts and other religious tribunals, including a call for the government to consider requiring couples who have a non-legally binding religious marriage also to have a civil registration. It also suggests that the Thought of the Day on BBC Radio 4's Today programme should include non-religious messages. The Commission on Religion and Belief in Public Life has attracted particular controversy because of the seniority of those behind it. Its patrons include Rowan Williams, the former Archbishop of Canterbury, Lord Wolfe, the former Chief Justice, and Sir Iqbal Sukrani, the former General Secretary of the Muslim Council of Britain. While gathering evidence, the commissioners met key players including Justin Welby, the Archbishop of Canterbury, Ephraim Mervis, the Chief Rabbi, the Home Secretary Theresa May, and senior executives at the BBC and Channel 4. The Church of England said the report was a sad waste and a fallen captive to liberal rationalism. And finally, set to testify before Parliament on the efficiency of migrant ID checks, the head of the Swedish Migration Agency was turned away by guards, unable to match his government ID with any of the names on their list, officials said. Director General Anders Danielsson had been invited to the Swedish Parliament, the Riksdag, to talk about the systematic photo ID checks being put in place for January the 4th to stem an unprecedented flow of migrants to Sweden from Denmark. But he was not on the list of invited people, and identification was not enough, said Migration Agency spokesperson Alexander Elias. Danielsson was forced to make several phone calls to friends and colleagues inside the Riksdag who could vouch for his identity before the issue was finally cleared up, and he was allowed to enter, according to the Migration Embassy.
My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.
On your PC, tablet, mobile phone and internet radio receiver, this is Lutheran Radio UK.